Snooks, what are you doing with that fruit bowl?
I'm working on an invention.
An invention?
Yeah, I'm going to make shoes out of banana skins.
That's interesting. What kind of shoes can you make out of banana skins?
Slippers.
Oh, dear. Snooks, you're an idle dreamer. Why don't you work on something practical?
Like what?
Well, like a hollow cake of soap.
Hollow soap?
Yes. Then there wouldn't be any useless little pieces left over.
Well, what would you do with the hollow pot?
Oh, you could use that to stuff macaroni. Not bad, eh?
Daddy, you're goofy.
Why, of course I'm goofy. We're all goofy.
Why?
Because it's Maxwell House goofy time.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that means Maxwell House coffee time. And time once again to enjoy the gay humor of Frank Morgan, the music of the Maxwell House Orchestra, conducted by Frank Tours, the trials of Hanley Stafford as Daddy, and the unpredictable conduct of Fanny Bryce in her original character creation, the one and only Baby Snooks. Now, here is our singing master of ceremonies, your host for the evening, John Conte.
What do you do in the infantry? You march, you march, you march. What do you do when your pack has got your back as stiff as starch? There's many a fall in the cavalry, but never a fall in arch. And what do you do in the infantry? You march, you march, you march. What do you do in the infantry? You hike, you hike, you hike. What do you get in the infantry? A left and right oblique. The son of a gun in the signal corps traveling on a bike. What do you do in the infantry? You hike, you hike, you hike. The hard way, the hard way. Sweat till you get there, the hard way. What do you do in the infantry? You win, you win, you win. What do you do for the victory? You move into Berlin. The rest of the army are riding, riding through a triumphal arch. What do you do in the infantry? You march, march, march.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening, everyone.
Good evening, John. I say, I don't wish to be troublesome. Do you suppose you could let me have five minutes of your time?
No trouble at all, Tours. No trouble at all. And what pressing problem is causing you to burst at the seams this evening, Maestro?
Oh, I just wanted to compliment you on the charming young lady you were dining with after the broadcast last week. It was sheer glamour.
Why, Toursy, you sound envious. I should think a man like you would enjoy the simple things of life.
Oh, I love the simple things.
You do?
In fact, I finally married one.
Well, no need to be envious, my thwarted fawn. The young lady is to be our guest tonight. She is a lady operative of the William J. Burns International Detective Agency.
Well, lady detective, isn't that a bit unusual?
In more ways than one, good neighbor. Our Mr. Morgan's yarns are going to be squelched tonight. As a special favor, our lady detective has shadowed Frank all week, so that if he starts any of his tall tales, she'll give us a report of exactly where he went and what he did. For once, I've got that voice. Oh, excuse me, the phone. Hello?
Hello, John. This is Marjorie Henderson.
Hello, Marjorie. It's the lady detective now, Maestro. Marjorie, why aren't you here? Have you forgotten that tonight's the night we put the finger on Frank Morgan?
No, but I had some trouble.
What?
I've been shadowing him since last Thursday, as per your instructions.
Yes?
But just a few minutes ago, I lost him. He ran down a dark alley.
Were you chasing him?
No, he was chasing me.
Well, rise above it, Marjorie. Come on over to the broadcast and be sure to bring your report.
I will if I can get out of this alley. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Any trouble, John?
Oh, no. She'll be along any minute. In the meantime, would you care for a hand of gin rummy or perhaps a card trick or two?
Oh, capital. Do you know any unusual tricks?
Do I? I know one little trick that's positively fascinating. A delight to the eye. Drives the boys crazy at parties.
Oh, she does? Well, let's call it in. We'll all go crazy together.
Right.
My ugly ducklings, and who is this tempting little trick who makes a party feel like a boy?
Sorry, Frank, but all the tricks I know are cards.
Fine. If she's a wild card, I'm glad to give her a new deal.
Frank, Frank, must you be eternally preoccupied with the ladies?
What?
Why don't you be like me?
Why? Is that good?
Never mind. At least I know there's a time and a place for everything.
Oh.
For instance, after the broadcast last week, I went out to the parking lot, and I found a beautiful woman sitting in my car.
You did?
A perfect stranger.
Well, what'd you do?
Well, I went over and reported it to the parking attendant, naturally.
Yeah.
What would you have done?
The same as you, but I wouldn't lie about it. Yes, Jackie, my boy, no doubt she would have succumbed to that intense personal charm that keeps me constantly fighting off women. But very feebly.
Yes.
For instance, this week I've been followed every place I've gone by a most attractive young woman.
Oh-ho! Yes. So there was a gal on your trail, huh?
Yes, a frail.
Tours? I wonder who it could have been.
Well, doubtless a lovesick young thing asked my autograph or something.
No doubt.
Women are such fools where I'm concerned. Curse.
Okay.
Oh, curse. Yes. She pursued me constantly as I went about my customary gay mad round, even to Malibu, where I was guest of honor at the last gala beach party of the season.
Oh, who was there, Frank?
Who was there? Uh-huh. Who wasn't there? Lana Turner wasn't there. Sonia Haney wasn't there. The guy who shot in Sadie's case wasn't there. But they had a bevy of gorgeous bathing girls. So I drifted in and out with the tide.
All in one-piece bathing suits, too, I'll wager.
Oh, yes.
These California girls are so lacking in modesty, aren't they?
Yes, and the water's nice, too. As is always my delightful fate, I became embroiled in a romantic episode with an emigre Russian actress, Natasha Oshenska from Omsk, near Minsk, which is near Pinsk. There she was, sitting alone on the beach in the moonlight. Softly I approached across the warm sand, dropped down beside her, and put my arm about her.
But what happened?
Jackie, what you read in the papers is true. Those Russians are terrific fighters.
So much for your romantic borscht. But what about the girl who was following you?
Oh, amazing as it may seem, she was still waiting for me when I left the party. And it wasn't until a half hour ago that I managed to elude her by running down a dark alleyway.
But you couldn't catch her?
No, she's pretty fast on her feet. I've been trapped. Jockey, those malicious accusations do not become a gentleman and a scholar. And neither will you. Furthermore, I... Oh, Jockey.
What's the
look
matter?
At the door.
What?
There she is. That poor, helpless victim of a mad infatuation. Well, good night, gentlemen. I'll go to mend a love-torn heart.
Wait a minute, Frank.
She's
followed you this far. Yes. She can make it over to the microphone.
Oh, no.
Oh, Marjorie, won't you join us?
Jockey, you know this delightful little kumquat?
Oh, yes. You see, she's our guest this evening. Meet Miss Marjorie Henderson.
Good evening, Don.
This is Maestro Tours, Marjorie. And this gentleman, I'm sure you're acquainted with.
How do you do, Mr. Morgan?
Yes?
You know, by this time, I feel like an old friend of yours.
Yes, the way you've been following me, my dear, you feel like an old wife of mine.
Marjorie, you've been following Frank since last Thursday, haven't you?
Now, please, Jockey, don't blame her. The flower will draw bees, you know.
Oh, I'm not ashamed, Mr. Morgan. I adore doing it.
What is this strange madness I arouse in women? Oh, no.
I made it my business to see that you didn't get away from me.
Ah, quel badinage. That's French for this is murder.
You'd better see my badge.
Badge? Oh, yes. I'm Dick Tracy, Jr. G-Man, myself, four box top man.
Frank. Dick Houston is an operative of the Burns Detective Agency.
Well, do you think Dick will ever catch Laffy and break up the dope ring? Personally, Oh! You! Jockey, you mean this slick chick is a dick?
That's right, Mr. Morgan. 3.5 years with William J. Burns.
What?
My assignment was to follow you.
Yes, so much for the madness you arouse in women, Morgan.
Oh, dear.
I engaged Miss Henderson to shadow you because I'm fed up with you playing Don Juan on the air as you did tonight. Marjorie, did you find a beach party at Malibu on your report? Or a romantic interlude with a Russian actress from Omsk?
That's near Minsk, not far from Pinsk.
Yes. Whatever it is, it's not on this report. All I find is a streetcar ride, a trip train to Pasadena, and the day spent watching an excavation.
Well, my fulminator of frauds, I guess that scotches your yarn and closes the case, doesn't it?
Case is scotch. Yarn. Jockey, Miss Henderson's report is authentic in every detail.
You admit it.
But as a fellow confidential operative, I must request the courtesy of the profession and ask that she say no more about the case I was working on without permission of the FBI.
Wait a minute. You, a private detective?
Yes,
I... Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Operative M2 at your service, sir. I'd gladly show you my badge, but I can't holding up my trousers at the moment.
Do you have the ineffable gall to stand there unashamed and claim you were working on a case?
He's such a boy. For years, I've been known among the watchdogs of the laws, the bloodhound of Beverly Hills. I inherited my criminological acumen from my grandfather, Pistol Packin' Morgan. Whose brilliant mind solved every case without moving from the armchair in the law enforcement agency where he was habitually soused. House!
The way I heard it, that that particular grandfather was hung for horse stealing.
Nothing of the kind. He was simply making his last personal appearance, and somebody dropped the stage out from under him. With my background, it was only natural that I should be called in on one of the most heinous crimes in history. A seemingly inoffensive peanut brittle merchant went berserk with jealousy and broke his wife's favorite Sinatra record.
Oh, gee.
Yes. Okay, Frankie, but you're digging your own grave.
How?
We know all you did was go for a streetcar ride.
Yes, really. My breath was hot on the neck of the criminal when he hopped a passing streetcar. I had the bracelets out and ready to snap on when he escaped during the confusion.
Yes?
The trail led me to the Union Depot where the felon hid in the compartment of the chief. And I boarded it just as the train pulled out.
Oh, brother, here comes the Pasadena alibi.
Not alibis, facts.
Facts.
Wishing to notify the Pasadena authorities to intercept the chief, mm-hmm. I asked the colored porter what time we'd arrive. Then, immediately, I asked the conductor.
Wait a minute, Frank.
Yes,
what? You asked the porter the arrival time?
Yes.
And then turned right around and asked the conductor?
Yes. Well, I wanted to get it in black and white. The local police met me at Pasadena.
And you spent all day watching an excavation.
She's such a girl. The fugitive jumped out a train window and led us a merry chase.
He did.
Until his mad flight was terminated by falling into a great excavation.
Mm-hmm.
He was run over by a 10-ton steamroller. Thus, the ends of justice were met and the case was closed. The sheriff locked him up and I received a citation.
Hold it, Morgan.
That I
hold
can
it.
Show you when I...
What? Hold it.
Why? Also, a handsome reward of a half pound of butter. Well, something puzzles you, Jockey?
Yes, plenty.
Here, what?
You were doing a fine job of wiggling, but you went just one step too far.
How?
If a man was run over by a 10-ton steamroller and squashed flat, how in the world could you turn him over to the sheriff?
Well, that's very simple, Jockey. I simply took him down to the sheriff's office and slipped him under the door.
Tuesday night, as election returns rolled in, folks down in Claybrook got out the band to celebrate Pete Fortney's landslide victory for mayor. And early next morning, we find the new mayor sitting down to breakfast in the kitchen as always. Molly, his housekeeper, is just pouring his coffee.
Pete.
What, Molly?
Pete, there's something I want to ask you.
Go ahead, Molly.
Well, don't you think it'd be sort of fitting for me to call you Mr. Mayor from now on?
Molly, you call me anything your heart desires, just so long as you don't call me too late from a Maxwell House. And you can depend on that, Molly. There's nothing like a cup of delicious Maxwell House coffee to help keep any man, even a mayor, happy. Because Maxwell House has the friendliest flavor going. It has all the rich, mellow, downright goodness of choice Latin American coffees blended right in by the unmatched skill of our coffee blenders. This art of skillful blending, coupled with the special Maxwell House Radiant Roast process, explains why millions of coffee lovers prefer Maxwell House. Why more stores sell Maxwell House than any other brand in America. Because Maxwell House is good. Good to the last drop. John Conte has selected for you tonight, No Love, No Nothing. Frank Tours conducting a Carmen Dragon arrangement.
No love, no nothing. Until my baby comes home, no sir, no nothing. As long as baby must roam, I promised him I'd wait for him till even Hades froze. I'm lonesome, heaven knows. But what I said still goes. No love, no nothing. And that's a promise I'll keep. No fun with no one. I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's on strike and woe. Oh, it's life. home. No love, no sir, no nothing till my baby comes home. No love, no nothing until my baby comes home. No sir, no nothing as long as baby must roam. My heart's on strike and blow its light an empty honeycomb. No love, no sir, no nothing till my baby comes home. No nothing till my baby comes home.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Maestro Tours. And now I... Oh, excuse me. Hello.
Oh, hello, John.
Hello, Daddy. You sound worried.
I am. I'm on my way to court, and I'm taking Snooks along.
You're not worried. You're crazy, Daddy. What are you taking Snooks for?
She's the only witness I have. Remember that fight I got into last week?
Oh, yes. You punched your neighbor, didn't you?
It was an accident, John, so help me.
Yeah.
But he's suing for the loss of two teeth. Well, I can't talk anymore. Goodbye, John.
Good luck, Daddy. You'd better have a mighty good lawyer. Hurry, Snooks. Court convenes any minute.
There's a man selling jelly apples.
Where are you going to find room for a jelly apple? You've got a balloon in one hand, an ice cream cone in the other, and a pocket full of lollipops. Oh, I don't know why I'm being so good to you.
I know, Daddy.
Well, all right. So you're my star witness. Now, all I ask is that you remember everything I told you to say.
Dear Judge, my daddy is a peace-loving, evil-tempered man.
Even-tempered.
General to a fault.
Generous to a fault. How many times do I have to tell you that?
Oh, I'll get it right, Daddy. Just wave it to me.
Well, try to be convincing when you get on the witness stand. If Mudge wins this case, it'll cost me at least $200. You were responsible for the whole thing anyway.
I didn't stop Mr. Mudge.
Well, you started it, fighting with his little son, Brentwood.
But Brentwood ain't suing me.
Well, what's the difference? What's mine's yours, and what's yours is mine. If you had two automobiles, you'd give me one, wouldn't you?
Of course, Daddy.
And if you had two wristwatches, you'd give me one.
Sure.
And if you had two lollipops, you'd give me one, wouldn't you?
No.
Why not?
Because I got two lollipops.
Well, just remember where you got it. I'm depending on you to prove that I didn't strike Mr. Mudge willfully and intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that I knocked two teeth out, which is false.
Were they false teeth?
How do I know what they were? All I know is I didn't knock them out.
Then what were they doing on the floor?
Snooks, you don't believe that I deliberately tried to knock Mr. Mudge's teeth out?
No, Daddy. But I believe you try to knock them in further.
Snooks, for heaven's sake, try to get the story straight. Money doesn't grow on trees, you know. That's why I'm acting as my own attorney.
Oh, I'm your witness, ain't I, Daddy?
Yes. Now remember, Mudge hit me first.
He hit you first.
But with admirable restraint, I didn't hit back.
You didn't hit back.
Instead, I held out my hand like a gentleman. And when Mudge bent over suddenly to tie his shoelace, his face struck my outstretched hand. That's our story.
That's our story?
Yes.
You expect them to believe that?
Naturally. You believe it, don't you?
Sure, Daddy, but you bought me a balloon.
And there's plenty more where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we are. Now, let's see. I have that subpoena in my pocket.
I want some.
Some what?
Some
peanuts. I said subpoena.
I'm hungry, Daddy.
Oh, can't you forget about eating for a second? Come on now. This is the courtroom.
Daddy, what's that lady selling?
Which lady?
The one holding the tray.
Snooks, that's a statue of justice. And those are scales in her hand. That's symbolic of the fairness of our great courts.
Has she got a headache?
No. She's wearing that cloth over her eyes to indicate that justice is blind.
Daddy! Oh,
be quiet, Snooks. The case is about to be opened.
Hear ye, hear ye. Case of Lancelot Higgins versus Wiltshire Mudge. Justice Cook presiding.
Come on, Snooks. That's us.
Are you Mr. Higgins?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you represented by counsel?
No, Your Honor. I'm serving as my own counsel.
Very well, Mr. Higgins. Proceed.
With the court's permission, I'd like to call my witness to the stand. Miss Snooks?
Here I am, Daddy.
Snooks, why are you sticking your tongue out at the judge?
It's all right. He can't see me.
What do you mean he can't see you?
Well, you just said the justice was blind.
Cute, isn't she, Your Honor?
I fail to see the humor. Have your witness sworn, Mr. Higgins.
Snooks, hurry. Get up there and swear.
Who shall I swear at?
Nobody. Just do as the bailiff says.
Is that man the bailiff?
Yes.
He looks like Prune Face.
Your name, please.
Snooks Higgins.
Repeat after me. I solemnly swear.
I solemnly swear.
To tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you sit down.
Oh, help me sit down.
Order, order.
I'll have a turkey sandwich, Daddy.
Snooks, this is no time for food.
Well, the judge said to order.
He didn't say
get on with your testimony, Mr. Higgins.
Oh. Yes, Your Honor. Now, Snooks, you were present at the time of the alleged altercation, were you not?
Present?
The plaintiff, one Wiltshire Mudge, contends that I struck him with malice aforethought. Is that true?
No, Daddy.
Did I hit him with anything resembling malice aforethought?
No, Daddy, you hit him with your fist.
Order, order!
I want some apple pie.
Forget that, Snooks. Just answer my questions.
I'm answering, Daddy.
Now, you've put into the record that I struck the plaintiff with my fist. What possible reason could I have for hitting a man like Mr. Mudge?
What reason?
Yes.
He's littler than you.
Order, please.
I want to talk with Hilda.
Snooks, pay attention. Have I ever given you any indication that I strike people who are smaller than I? Have I?
Well, Daddy, I ain't very big, and for the little thing you always back me.
Never mind that. I'll take care of you later.
There'll be no intimidating the witness, please.
Oh, Your Honor, I was just...
Just don't. Confine yourself to the testimony.
Yes, Your Honor. All right now, Snooks. I'm not going to ask you any more questions. I just want you to tell the court in your own words what happened.
In my own words?
Yes.
Don't you want me to tell him in your words?
She's joking, Your Honor.
Mr. Higgins, have you been putting words in the mouth of the witness?
Oh, certainly not, Your Honor. I wouldn't think of such a thing. Go ahead, Snooks. Tell the court what happened in your own simple language.
All right. Dear Judge, knowing my father, Mr. Lancelot Higgins, as I do, it is incongruous to suppose that anyone would visualize him as a man of violent tendencies.
How true.
Mr. Higgins, are you sure you haven't coached the witness?
Certainly not, Your Honor. Continue, sir.
It can truly be said of him that he is a man of gentle disposition and a pillow of his community.
Don't you mean pillar, dear?
That doesn't sound like a child, Mr. Higgins.
Oh, she's much smarter than she looks, Your Honor. Go on.
He bears no ill will to any man,
looking for.
Now you won't get me the teddy bear.
Quiet, please.
Mr. Higgins, am I to understand that you attempted to bribe your witness?
Oh, of course not, Your Honor. I didn't promise her any such thing.
You did, too, and I stayed up two nights learning all them big ways.
Oh, Higgins, you not only intimidated her, you coached her. That'll be $200 in cost.
But, Your Honor...
Next case, please.
Come along, Snooks. We're going home.
I want the judge to come along.
What do you want the judge for?
Because he won't let you.
Won't let me what?
Intimidate the witch.
Oh, what a child.
Most fresh fruits and vegetables are at the peak of their goodness for only a few short months during the year. But fresh, wonderful-tasting coffee like Maxwell House, you can enjoy the delicious freshness of vacuum-packed Maxwell House anytime, all the year round. And friends, every pound of delicious vacuum-packed Maxwell House you buy is packed fresh, roaster fresh. All the rich, mellow, delicious flavor is sealed in to stay in, as only vacuum packing can preserve it. And the flavor of Maxwell House coffee is something to preserve. In fact, Maxwell House gives you two extra flavor advantages. First, more flavor in the blend due to the choice Highland-grown coffee selected and to the Maxwell House tradition of skillful blending. And then, Maxwell House has more flavor in the cup, too, thanks to Radiant Roast, the special Maxwell House process that develops the full flavor and strength of every coffee bean. No wonder Maxwell House is the largest-selling vacuum-packed coffee in the world today. So, friends, remember, when life needs a lift, it's Maxwell House coffee time.
Darling, you and I know the reason why the summer sky is blue. And we know
that's about all we have time for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, until next Thursday evening at Maxwell House Coffee Time, when we will broadcast from the Army Air Base at Marchfield, California, with Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks, Frank Morgan, who appears with us through courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and who will soon be seen in thousands cheer, Hanley Stafford, Frank Tours, and Harlow Wilcox. This is John Conte saying good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop.
One, two, they're good for you. Three, four, they taste like more. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 10 little boxes of delicious, nutritious cereals in the big Post-Tens package. You get a choice of Post-Toasties, Post-Bran Flakes, Grape Nuts Flakes, and Nabisco Shredded Wheat. 10 individual servings in all, and every Post-Tens cereal is a basic 7 food supplying whole grain nourishment, so important for an adequate wartime breakfast. Get Post-Tens. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.